Appreciate that, Kelly. Thank you very much. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to look at Colossians first, and then we're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Just a few verses in each one, but a little longer in Colossians there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Something kind of bounced out in my attention, and just felt like this was something I was supposed to preach on. Now, we're only going to kind of get this started, so we're going to have to at least one more message on this. And so the title might seem a little not quite fitting, but it's where we're headed, and you'll see where we're going here, I think, eventually. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, and have your finger in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. All right, looks like you're ready. Here we go, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul's writing to the church of Colossae. He says, "Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Now watch what he says here. Put it in context. Sometimes when Paul gets to writing, I'm not sure what he would do in writing class and in English class, because he has a lot of run-on sentences. Just kind of keeps on going. But that's part of the grammar, the way it works. But he says, "Put on therefore bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness." But watch this. "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." I mean, you are God's children. You are saved. He does love you. He cares for you. He has set you apart unto Him. He says, as a child of God, representing our Heavenly Father in heaven, he says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God." I mean, he elect, but that way we looked, he said, in other words, he chose you. He chose you. Now, he didn't choose any of us over anybody else, but you know, he still individually chose us. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure why he chose me. Well, everybody else, that's fine, but let's not put him in here. You know, he chose us. God put our sins on Jesus, and he just said, okay, let's just throw them all on there. I think that he knew exactly one, every single person. He knows our hearts, the intents of our hearts. He knows our hurts. He knows our sins. He knows who we are. He knows everything about us. And in spite of that, he chose us. Don't ever think you were an afterthought to him. Don't ever think that you were just an added on getting a group rate. He chose you individually. So, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, set apart, and he loves you, we should be, here it is, verse 12, put on bowels of mercy. That means mercy from way down deep. That doesn't mean just let them off. That means feeling their hurt. Why did they do what they do? They're not the enemy, they're the victim of the enemy. Let's give them mercy, just like God gave us mercy. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Even a man, he said, if you guys have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Aren't you glad that God doesn't hold grudges? Aren't you glad that once you're in the family, he doesn't kick you out? I mean, how can we hold grudges? If anybody has the right to hold a grudge against anybody, it's God against us. So even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14. And above all these things, or what things? Humbleness of mind, forbearing, all this, the kindness, mercies. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In other words, he's saying every word and every deed should have a purpose behind it, should have an intention about it, so to speak. It should be done within a context of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we carry his name wherever we go. So every word and deed that we do is going to carry, it's going to make an impression on somebody in the representation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service or as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. No, you serve the Messiah. You're doing what you're... Listen, you've got a calling. You're in the service. And you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when it comes time to hand out rewards, he's going to give you one. A medal of honor. Verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there's no respect to persons. In other words, that goes for all of us. Goes for all of us. Real quick, Matthew 12, 36. This is really where I started. This is where I'm going to be going. This is the words of Jesus. 12, 36. Matthew 12, 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. We're going to spend most of our time there in Colossians. Let's pray. And we're talking about misdeeds and idle words. Misdeeds and idle words. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us. And we talked about this morning, that we need to be taught all things whatsoever you've commanded us. And this is part of it. We need to be good representations of Christ. And not only that, though, it saves us a lot of heartache, a lot of problems, when we just go ahead in humbleness of mind and meekness and just do what you call us to do. Lord, who are we to stand up in judgment for someone else? But Lord, may we be right before you. So Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm certainly one sinner telling another sinner not to sin. I'm just one doubter telling other doubters not to doubt. On the other hand, may we with love provoke one another to love and good works, to rise up in the arms of faith, to be obedient to you, to come out to be the representation of Christ that you would have us to be. Lift us up. We lift you up in our hearts. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We live in a very casual society. I don't mean we need to be prim and proper as much as we once were. But I tell you, we could probably do a little bit more of that. That has its own shortcomings when we get too overdone and full of ourselves. However, we are so self-absorbed that we put the responsibility of what we say in response on others. Let me say that again. We're so self-absorbed that we put the responsibility of what we say and do on others. Help me understand. First, you would say, well, I know I said so-and-so, but they should have known what I meant. It's their fault they're upset. I know I said that, but it's not my fault. They took it wrong. Why is he upset about what I did? I was upset because I was having a hard day, and I was just having a rough day, and they should have known I was having a rough day, and I was just letting off steam. It's their fault. Well, I was just saying, well, all I did was, and all of a sudden we lay it on the other person because they didn't forgive us, because they didn't overlook us. They didn't overlook our issue. But the Bible says every idle word shall be brought into account. Whatever we do in word and deed is a representation of God. It represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever happened to please and thank you? The only time some folks say such niceties is when they're trying to flatter you and butter you up so they can get something else out of you. In fact, sometimes it becomes lip service, eye service, rather than from a sincere heart in meekness and thankfulness. I mean, if all things should happen, we the Christians, here we are. Listen, these are the workers. This is kind of the core of our church. And I'm not saying we don't have that. I'm just saying we ought to make sure we have it. You see, is this a lesson on mismanners? No. It's a lesson on being like Christ. It shouldn't just be lip service. It should be sincere heart meekness. On the other hand, some folks seem to call their good manners into practice because that is what you do at your job, because corporate says it's good business, and if you can't be nice, they'll fire you. Okay, I'll be nice. Corporate shouldn't have to hold that over our head. When you're working, you're with people, you should say, that's just the way it is. Now, let me say this. I don't know why the Lord asked me to preach this. I'm just telling you, this is what I felt like I was supposed to preach. Now, let me tell you, I have people tell me all the time. I mean, regular. I mean, if it's not once or twice a week, it's close to it. That the folks at Lighthouse Baptist are just the sweetest folks. They're just so nice. They always walk in. They have a smile on their face. I came in and I visited. I think 15 people came over and shook my hand and told me they were glad to see me. You really just got nice people. And you know what? It ought to be that way. But not just Sunday morning or at handshaking time on Sunday night. You know, and I don't think it is, most of us. I don't think that's the way it is. But let's just think about it here. Whatever happened to being gracious? Because that is how Jesus is. And if the Spirit of Jesus is living us, we should and can be like Him. Now, again, it doesn't mean we're going to walk around or holier than thou. We're going to talk about God. Well, thank you. Oh, thou hast been so kind to me. Hey, you know, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about you being real, actually caring for somebody other than ourselves. I think many people, including Christians at times, have forgotten that the Lord sees all, hears all, and experiences all that we do. He experiences every single thing. I mean, when someone asks you a question, how does that represent Christ?
Well, I'm just not like that.
Well, are you thankful for being saved?
Well, that'll put a smile on your face.
Do you love God's people? Well, then you ought to be kind to God's people. I think many people, including Christians, they've forgotten that. And we just open our mouth and we start talking. I heard about a guy one time, someone says, do you think before you speak? He says, no, I never do that. I'd like to be as surprised as everybody else when it comes out. Let's just start, open up, and see what comes out. It might be good, it might not be so good. We might have a problem. We should do our very best not to judge others on this issue, but we should do our very best to judge ourselves on this issue. It's often You see, we're getting picky. You know what? It's often these little things done or spoken without really thinking about what we're doing that causes the misunderstandings, the hurt, and the division among folks. Well, they should have understood what I meant. Well, if they don't, then go make sure they do. In other words, it not only causes interpersonal problems, but it can also hurt our testimony. I think we got to be careful. You know, we can put on our good face at church or wherever it is, and then we go home, and everything changes, and our kids are saying, "What was that? I thought we just learned the Bible told us we're supposed to do this and though and thus and though." I guess it's all really not real, just put on. I guess we're just kind of being taught the rules like you're taught the rules at school. And this is what you do if you're not too tired to do wrong. You know, if you're not too tired to do right, you know. But I guess that's what it is. And as I spoke this morning, salvation is something to possess because it's a gift. So is our walk with God. And our walk with God should produce fruit. It doesn't mean you're going to create artificial fruit. People know when you're plastic. They can tell when you're just a big ball of wax. Sitting in a plate there, looks nice, like Lucy. Remember that old show where Lucy, she was so hungry, she was at somebody's house, and they slipped out of the room, and she grabbed a piece of fruit off the table and started to eat it. It turned out it was wax. And then they're going like this, trying to get her teeth out of the wax. We shouldn't be waxy Christians. We ought to be the real thing. Full, ripe, and juicy. Some people say things or do things they shouldn't, but never ask forgiveness. Never say they're sorry. And that's because they're not sorry. They will say, "Well, I don't need to apologize because I didn't mean what I said. I didn't plan on hurting you. It was an accident." Well, maybe so, but you still said it. You still did it. It still hurt the other person. We are guilty whether we meant it or not. Listen, you run in the back of somebody's car and you tell the judge, "Well, I didn't mean it. I don't care where you meant it. You were the one. You're the one who ran in the back of the car. You're responsible. You're the one who gets the blame." We are guilty of putting our mouth in gear before we put our minds in gear. And if I had my choice as to whether you would hear tonight, by the way, if I had my choice whether you hear tonight's message or the next one of this, I would like to hear the next one. Get that? So we got to hear the second one in 2 weeks. I won't be here next Sunday night. We'll be on our way to, but Nathan's preaching for us, and the guys, everything's up and running. So, Janet and I are going to be heading right after morning service down to the SWORD Conference to lead the singing for the National SWORD Conference next week. So, but everything's up and running. You be here, and it'll be fine. But in 2 weeks after that, then I want you to hear the second part of this. Now, there's my introduction. It's already 7. Here we go. Number one. Ready? Everything should be done as unto the Lord. Everything should be done as unto the Lord. We should be dressing in the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Colossians 3:12. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And then later in this passage, you know, it says, "heartily as unto the Lord." Now, everything should be done. This is how the Lord would do it. If we're supposed to do everything as unto the Lord, this is how the Lord would do it. He would have bowels of mercies. He'd have kindness. He'd have humbleness of mind. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is knowing where you stand before God. Whew. I mean, I can't believe he allows me to do what I do. But the fact is, he can put my light out any old time. And what I do, I try to do in his power. And he, I'm not sure why he puts his name on me, but he has. By the way, he's put his name on you, and you represent it. Do we wear it well? Do you wear his name well? If you're going to wear his name, then you're going to also put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Well, you know how long I've been putting up with that person? Long-suffering. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering. In other words, he should have put their lights out a long time ago, but he's long-suffering. Why? Not willing that any should perish. Not willing that he'd throw anybody away. How many times do we just discount somebody, kind of throw them away, because they're just a bother? They've been a problem. You know what? They look better going than coming. He says, verse 13, forbearing one another. This is how Jesus would do it. Forgiving one another. Man. They slap Jesus around all night. They scourge him with an inch of his life. They smack a crown of thorns on his head. They make him carry the cross. They get him up there and they nail him to the cross. They thump that thing down in the hole. And the Bible says his bones fall out of joint. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. It's all right. Father, forgive them. That's how Jesus would do it. He says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If we're not careful, we can divide. The very people you love is the people we throw away. In fact, you know, you only hurt the one you love. Remember the old song? Doesn't it seem like that? You're as nice as you can be. And you know what? I've seen kids say, we know they'll go out and daddy is just the nicest guy to everybody else. And they come home and basically say, listen, you stupid kid, what's the matter with you? And they feel about this big, well, apparently everybody in the world's worth something but me. When others see us, they should be seeing the fruit of the Spirit all over us. Be put on the bowels of mercies and humbleness and meekness and all these. Listen, when they see us, they should see Christ coming. They should see it in your eyes. They should see it in your manner. They should see it, hear it in your words. You can usually tell, by the way, by how I'm dressed, if I've had lunch.
Because there's this here and this and here and this here. I've got this little shelf. And I take this off and I usually shove this underneath my suspender. And that way, if it gets on, I can usually get it out of my shirt.
Can you, listen, when you go out, people, do they see Christ coming at you? Hey, listen, they know where I've been. Do they know where you've been? Have you been feeding in the Word of God? Is it spotted all over you? You can't deny it because there it is, right smack in the front of the... I've been getting in shape. Round's a shape. Very good. Don't mess it up. Round is a shape, just so you know. Listen, are you quarrelsome? Or are you unforgiving? Or are you humble and kind, long-suffering and forbearing? If the Lord did not deal with us in this manner, we would all be under the chastisement of God. Aren't you glad he's long-suffering? Aren't you glad he's humble? Aren't you glad that he's willing to condescend to come to our aid even after the stupid things we do? Well, that person is just crazy. What in the world are they doing with that? I shouldn't have to put up with that. All right. Hold that thought. Now look up here. See if he's got anything that you've done that's stupid that he shouldn't have to put up with. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We should live in love. Look at verse 14. It says, and above all these things, put on charity, agape love. I said it the other night. They use the word charity because when you give something to charity, you're not expecting anything back. That above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know that little check mark thing you see on athletic clothes? What is what? Nike. Yeah. You put that little mark on there and say, well, Nike did this. So it must have a certain quality to it. It's a mark of a certain level of quality. He says here, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. The word perfectness in the King James there means to have come to maturity. Now we're on a process of, I wish maturity would stop, but it's not stopping. It's continuing. But it is there. But you know what? I'm kind of glad I'm not 15 anymore. I don't want to be 15 anymore. I wouldn't be 25 or 30, but I don't want to be 15. But I want some, it's okay to grow up and mature. And he says, when you put on charity, you know, you got all these other things, and that's good. You do this, and you say, well, they shouldn't have done that, but I'm going to be kind, and da-da-da-da. How about if you just forget about all the rules and just love them? Because then all the rules fall in place. When that love of Christ, when that person who just, I mean, they just rake all over you, they do something, you come out, and you see them ding your car and move away. Hey, hey. What do? He says, you know what? The mark of having matured as a Christian is love. The bond of perfectness, the mark of maturity is love. We ought to have love all over us. So how will the Lord do it? We saw. So we should be living in love. We should be living, watch this, we should allow God's peace to rule. His peace should rule over our countenance, our emotions. Look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God supersede. The peace of God rule. Peace of God have control over what you're doing. You know, when we don't have peace about, you know what we've done? We basically said, well, God's lost control on this issue. He's missed this one. It slipped by. I guess I'm going to have to take, oh my soul, what am I going to do? God knows what's going on. He has not forsaken us. Now, we may have forsaken us, and we're out here in the briars. We're walking in the darkness rather than walking in the light. Well, that's our fault. And you know what? The Holy Spirit's not dumb. Don't you play dumb with me or him either. You know when you're not quite walking right. You know, well, you know, it's not bad. I'm not all the way in the dark. I might be a little closer to the shadow than I should be. Well, then why? Then don't be surprised when one foot is going down in the mud puddle. You're trying to straddle the fence. You can't straddle the fence and think you're going to enjoy the walk. It's not comfortable walking on the fence. It's even worse straddling the fence. God has not left us or forsaken us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And we can have the peace of God take control of our heart and our emotions. The emotions is a response, a soul's response to the issue. How does your soul respond when someone comes at you with something you don't like? How does soul respond when you've had a bad day? And what does it do? Take it out on everybody else? Or does the peace of God rule in your heart? I don't understand it. This is crazy stuff. I'm not sure what's going on. But God's still on the throne. We don't have to worry about God that he's not done, about what God has not done, or will do what was needed to be done. In the meantime, we can just live thankful with what we have right now. We don't have to worry about what he's done, what he hasn't done. He says, listen, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. What is thankful thrown in there with peace of God? What's that in there? Listen, I have a peace of God because God is still in control. Everything looks like it's going haywire, but God is still in control, and I need to walk where he wants me to walk, just do what I'm supposed to do. Well, what it is? Well, you're supposed to get up tomorrow morning, give yourself to the Lord, go do your job with a good attitude, work hard, come back, love your wife, care, you know, I mean, just do what you're supposed to, read your Bible, just do what you're supposed to. Well, where's that going to get us? Like I said this morning, listen, sometimes what God asks us to do looks like it has nothing to do with the problem. Taking a walk around Jericho is not going to make the walls fall down. But God says, I want you to take a walk, so that walk is the exercising of my faith. And so what am I doing? Well, I'm exercising my faith. Well, what are you doing about this problem? I don't know what to do about the problem. Well, you got to. I can't do anything about the problem. It's on his hands. So what am I supposed to do? I need to take a walk. I need to walk through life and do what I'm supposed to do. And if there's nothing I can do about it, leave it in his hands. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and just be thankful. Well, how can you be thankful? Don't you see all those problems? I'm still alive. I'm thankful for that. He didn't throw me in hell. Well, we're still eating. Still got clothes on my back. Let the peace of God rule. So, listen, how would he do it? He showed us how we do it. We got to put on, we got to dress with the fruit of the Spirit. Then we need to live in love. We need to allow God's peace to rule in our heart. And watch this. Next, we should allow the Word of God to instruct us before we say or do something stupid, and allow the Word of God to correct us so we don't do it again. Look at verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I think it has, as part of that comes with the be thankful. You know, you're thankful, you're happy. You happy? You sing. Some folks sing and they shouldn't, but they sing. In fact, God says, do sing. Make a joyful noise. He says it's a beautiful thing. And listen, I've got a couple granddaughters, and Bible, and you know, and there's all these little songs are kind of going through there, and you know, then they throw out little words that they know, and this and that, and they kind of do the emotions. You say, well, let's not put them on an album and get them on YouTube here yet. They're not ready. No, they're not. But you know what? It's beautiful music to a granddad to see his grandkids being taught the truths of God's Word, even if it's just little things like that, their heart being warmed to accept him. That's a wonderful thing. Beautiful music. Thankful. Don't have much. It's all right. Don't need much. So we let the Word of God dwell in us. And that's what it says in verse 16. Let it dwell in us. The Word of God is our teacher that instructs us on how we are to live and love. Let me give you another one. It's a question. What would Jesus do? We saw what he would do, what he put on the fruit of the Spirit. He'd live in love. He'd allow God's peace to rule in his heart. He would allow the Word of God to instruct us. Look at verse 17. What would Jesus do? And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Unto the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. He says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, we started out this with misdeeds and idle words. Let's use this principle here. When it says we're going to do something or say something in the name of Jesus, what that means is Jesus would sign his name to it. If I come to you in the name of the President of the United States, You know what you're going to say? All right, well, this is coming from the top. What do you have to say for? This must be a specific message. This is what he's telling me to do. This is what Donald Trump would say if he was here. Well, when you do whatsoever you do or say, word or deed, would Jesus say that if he was here? Would he say that if he was here? Well, he doesn't like coffee, so he wouldn't ask for one. Nah, I'm not. You know what I'm saying. How we handle it, what we do, will we do it in the name of Jesus? Would he sign his name to it? Curtis Hudson, he was a mess. He used to tell this one little joke here. He said, "I was so mad, I wanted to cuss. Now I wouldn't have cussed, but if you wrote it down, I'd sign my name to it." Just being funny. What comes out of our mouth, would Jesus sign his name to it? Is it kindness? Is it meekness? Is it long-suffering? Is it humbleness of mind? Is it covered in love? Do you say it with peace in your own heart so it's not attacking? Isn't that all defensive? In word or deed, whatsoever you do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what are some specific examples of living in the peace of God and not saying and doing something stupid that's going to make things worse? Well, sure enough, Paul gets right into it. So hold on. Let me read this to you. Put on, therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. This is the point. It shows us that we've grown up. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, through the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Then he gets some examples. Wives, now he's going to go from preaching to meddling. Well, let's just talk about this. For instance, if any have any quarrel against any, wives, husbands, children. He's going to get specific. He says, wives, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, I didn't write this. Paul wrote it down, but the Holy Spirit told him to. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That doesn't mean every woman is under my submission. I've got one wife. Now, there's maybe submission within the context of a pastor, within leadership, fine. But there's some people, some men who walk around and think, every woman should be submitted to me. That's not what it says. You don't own her. And by the way, if you're married, she owns you as much as you own her. Now he says, wives, submit yourselves on your own husband as is fit in the Lord. As is fit in the Lord, there's several things. That means how the Lord would do it, as he would have it. Now wait a minute. It is fitting for wives to submit to their husband. Somebody has to be the head of the house. Listen, we're one body, one flesh. Any person with two heads is a monster. And listen, you're going to have a monster of a marriage that's going to be hard to keep control of if you've got two heads. I had a lady in my office years ago, and we were having this thing. She says, I let him be the head of the house. There's a difference between I'm going to let him. She made the decision to allow him. You know the old joke, and I know some folks here have said it, and they're just being funny. But he said, when we got married, my wife said, I'll tell you what, you make all the big decisions, the great decisions, and I'll make all the little decisions. And so far, there haven't been any big decisions. Wives, submit. Sometimes, I hate to say it, listen, men have an ego as big as a cruise ship and as fragile as a Christmas tree bulb. Guys, I'm sorry, but it's just the truth. We might as well suck it up and admit it. We need you, ladies. Just like we needed a mommy to say, good boy, you did a good job on that. We need a cheerleader. We need somebody. Wives, submit yourself. It says, as is fit in the Lord. Now, wait a minute. It's fitting for us to do that. However, if your hubby says, go out and sell your body, God, that's not fit in the Lord. God's not going to make you do that. Well, I have to do it because I got to submit. I don't think he's expecting you. If we have to obey God or man, you obey God. That principle's still there. Well, we're one flesh. I understand, but you're still a single soul, and you're responsible to God, and so you maybe some things you can't do. Maybe sometimes you can't submit. But if you can, do it. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives. Now, man, he's talking about everything we do in word or deed. This is part of our testimony. This is what people see. This is what the world sees. This is what your kids see. This is what your family see. The people you're trying, your family, you're trying to get saved. And then they watch us break all the rules. And then we complain because they're just too hard-headed to get saved. They may be hard-headed, but we're plastering the concrete on all the time, every time they're around us, making it all the harder. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. What if she messes up? You love her. What's love? Do unto her as you'd have it be done to you. That doesn't mean, I want a steak dinner. I know she likes veggies, but I'm going to do unto her as it would do unto me. Let's go get a steak dinner. That's not what I'm saying. If she wants to be respected, you ought to respect her. If you'd like her to give you the choice of what you're going to do, then give her the choice. Love her. Care for her. Ephesians tells you, listen, you ought to love her so much that you're willing to die for her as Jesus did for his bride. What would he do? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all as unto the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Aren't you glad you got somebody who said, I'll take you? Wives, submit. Husbands, love your wives. Listen, guys, I do this almost every time I get together with couples. Ladies, one thing men have a hard time with is disrespect. You don't have, I'm not talking about whether you agree with them. He's not even talking about whether we kind of like the way it's all felt, but he wants you to respect him. But guys, one thing these ladies need is to know that you love them. You're not going to walk out on them. You're not going to hurt them. You're not going to throw them away. You're not going to come down and abuse them physically or emotionally or any other way. That's what they want to know, they're safe in your arms, safe and be in the same house, safe to give their heart to. That's what they want. Wives, husbands, children. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know what? Some of you maybe have parents who don't know Jesus as their Savior. You know how we can pray all we want for them to get saved, but I tell you the best way to make sure they get saved and get to go to heaven when the time comes. And maybe, who knows, they may start coming to church. I'll tell you how the best way to do that. Let them see Jesus in you. When they say do it, do it. Don't go, oh, I did that. Oh. That's not what Jesus would do. Well, I shouldn't have to. It's his turn. That's not what Jesus would do. Watch it. Isn't it more important that your family, your parents, and maybe your grandparents or your friends or whoever it is that you live with, whoever it is, your brothers and sisters, will come to the point where they say, I don't know what they have, but they're different than the rest of us. Why do they go up there to that church every Sunday and then they stay all afternoon? They get home late. Why would they do that? Well, I tell you what, they're not like everybody else. We shouldn't be like everybody else. If we're like everybody else, the Lord's not. We haven't put the Lord Jesus on yet. We haven't put love on yet. Listen, you said, well, you're kind of beating me up. I'm just a kid. He said, children obey. I'm not beating you up. I'm just telling you what he said. Well, I do pretty well. Do more. Do it better.
Do it with a smile on your face.
Don't. I did it. We just wasted it. That's not gonna do the job. Wives submit, husbands love, children obey. Fathers, not lords and dictators. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We put them down. We beat them up. And we think that we've told them all, and we've got them right where they be. Do you realize that those kids need a little love? Well, I let them off. No, you didn't let them off. If you have to deal with it, you discipline them. Well, it doesn't work unless they get angry. No. See, that's crazy. You tell me the Word of God doesn't work? You tell me that I have to get in the flesh and get angry before it works? I know I've been there. My kids know I've been there. You're not out-muscling, you're not out-threatening them, you're not trying to outmaneuver them. You're just loving them and sticking to them. You're training them. Don't provoke them to anger. I don't know what daddy wants. I just say he's here, he's there. I've seen him. 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters. Well, I'm not a slave, so that doesn't pertain to me. Yes, it does. When someone's paying your wage, they own you right there. Now, don't go and do something that God wouldn't want you to do. Understand that. If they're paying you, you're theirs. If they say dig, dig. They say pick it up, pick it up. Well, I have to do more than everybody else. So what? Maybe God is allowing you to use some things, to do some things, and that boss is going to say, now there's somebody to get something done. Listen, I've been around long enough. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And people are watching. And sometimes they just watching, don't let on at all that they're watching. And all of a sudden, a place opens up, a spot opens up, position opens up, and they'll say, I'll tell you who ought to do this job. You're faithful a little, you'll be surprised to become ruler over much. There's a guy who could do the job. There's a lady that could do the job. He says, listen, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Watch. I know they're just your master. I know it's just a secular job. It's according to the flesh. Watch this. Not with eye service and men. Oh, boss came in. No. It's not that they know you're going to do the job. It's that they can trust that your heart will get the job done. Not with eye service, not with lip service. Don't just tell me what I want to hear. Do it. I was speaking to someone here recently, and I said, you know what? Your boss wants you to be an asset to their company. That's what they want. And if you're not an asset to the company, they'll use you as long as they need somebody to plug that hole. And when they find somebody else going to plug that hole, they don't need you. They want someone who's going to be an asset to the company. That's what you ought to do. Be an asset to the company. So I'm not planning on doing this forever. So what does that have to do with anything? He's still paying you the same amount whether you plan on doing it forever or not. Be an asset to the company. Be somebody. Do something right. It says, not as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Fearing God. God sees it. God knows my heart. Whether I worked, whether I gave my full experience and my full effort or not. Well, I'm giving my full effort to back, and the boss isn't even here today. Uh-huh. The boss is here today. Well, how's my boss going to know? I don't know, but God can do most anything. The heart of the king is in his hand. He can, it's like his river. He can move it wherever he wants. I don't know. We're not here to do right because it's going to get us ahead. We're supposed to do right because we fear God. Whatsoever you do, do heartily. Listen, we're misdeeds, idle words. We just kind of give it up. We live casually. Well, whatever happens, that's not going to work. Do we forget that God works in the lives of people? Man, it's time to go. Let me give you one more here. Look, another question. Before you do something, ask yourself, would you treat Jesus this way? Before you open your mouth, before you do what you say, before you give them a little piece of our mind. By the way, some of us have given away too many pieces, but not much left. Before we give away a piece of our mind, ask yourself, and listen, we have all been here. Maybe this message was for me as much as it was for anybody else. But before you give them a piece of your mind, would you treat Jesus this way if he was going to be the recipient that's about ready to come busting out between your lips? Well, Jesus would never treat me like this person is treating me. What's the Lord's answer to that? Look at verse 23. So we had wives, husbands, children, fathers, servant. And whatsoever ye do, here it is, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You may think that no one knows how good you're being. First of all, if you're doing it for the reward, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You can't expect a whole lot of reward. You got your reward. On the other hand, God will reward you. Understand that, but keep it out of the front of your mind. Understand, God's going to reward you, but don't play with that. Don't do it even for that reward. Do it because it's right. Leave it in his hand. And this is the way it works for all people. Look at verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Well, God and I, you know, we've kind of got an agreement. I've done a lot of things for him, and, you know, he kind of lets me off. There's no respecter of persons, but also means that you're not left out either. God rewards, he sees. I just need to do and let it into his hands. If he wants to move me further, he wants to put me further up the ladder, let him put me further up. So that really worked? Ask Daniel. Ask Joseph. You can ask Sterling. I have no business being where I am. But I will say, though I'm sure I've fallen short of this, I always wanted to do my best job. Because if no one else was looking, he was. You live in fear? No, I live in joy. I got, listen, he's always watching. He knows when it was right. He knows when I got a dirty deal. He knows when I've done right and no one else saw it. He knows. Matthew 25 says this, then shall the righteous answer him saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsted and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was naked, you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Now, we're not talking about winning your way to heaven. But he's giving you the idea here, God knows. These people didn't realize what they had done or not done. When did we do this? That doesn't make it any less of a reality that they did it. You may say, well, I didn't mean to hurt anyone. I just wasn't thinking. I know. It's idle words. Misdeeds. A summary. Misdeeds and idle words are often the result of just plain sin and selfishness that resides in our heart that has not been overcome by the Spirit. Just who we are. Everything should be done as unto the Lord. Would we do this if Jesus was standing next to us? The preacher showed up at the house of this lady, and she was really putting on the dog for the preacher. And she came in, and he came in and sat down, and she was just, trying to really put on the dog there. And she wanted to prove how spiritual was. She said to her daughter, "Dear, go for mother to get and get the book. Get the precious book that mother loves so much." 2 minutes later, she came back with the JCPenney catalog. We should live in love and not in the flesh. We should allow God's peace to rule in our hearts. We should allow the Word of God to instruct us. We should ask ourselves, how would Jesus handle this? And we should ask ourselves, would I treat Jesus this way? And this is the way it works for everybody. He's no respecter of persons. Idle words and misdeeds. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, help us to measure our words. Make sure we know what we're saying. Make sure we know what we're doing. Remember that we're standing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are representing him. Help us, Lord. Heads are bowed.